Welcome to the first podcast of Dear Non-Disabled People. My name is Zoe Joyner. I have a vision impairment called CVI, or a cortical vision impairment. And it's when the brain has trouble processing what it sees. And I want to describe it as looking through Swiss cheese. So I was the kid who was.
And my name is Arielle Silverman. I'm the principal of Disability Wisdom Consulting and the main writer on the Weekly Wisdom blog. Thank you for tuning in today. And this first episode, Zoe and I are going to co-host and ask each other some questions. As far as my disability background, I am nearly totally blind. I can see some light and shadows due to a condition I was born with that is called Leber's congenital amaurosis. So today we're both going to be sharing a little bit about our own experiences with disability, as well as some knowledge that we have from the disability community. I'm going to start by asking Zoe a couple of questions. So first of all, Zoe, could you tell us about some challenges that you faced in your life and how you've overcome those challenges so far?
My challenges have been speaking up with teachers. There's also challenges when I was little of figuring out if I had any other disabilities, like ADHD, because it was hard for me to focus because with my vision, I'm attracted to motion. So it was a lot of like hit and miss things. And also, I've learned to think that I'm like a trailblazer because a lot of kids with my vision impairment aren't as academically focused since it's a brain injury. They have a lot of other challenges. So I've learned to speak up more, especially through email, because I can be very self-conscious. So it's easier for me to email a teacher than talk to them face to face. And also I learned through like writing a letter to my teachers during the beginning of the year can stop like simple things like forgetting to enlarge things from the like hitting that in the beginning, so I don't have to remind them as much throughout the year. And so I have something to pull back on if they're not doing it.
Mm-hmm. And a related question, how has your childhood experience impacted your career choices so far in your life?
I really liked history growing up. I used to like math, but it got a little bit more visual, like with geometry. And I've always liked stories, so that's why I'm interested in podcasting, because I not only like reading stories, but I also like hearing about others and sharing them with the rest of the world to benefit.
Okay, great. Well, thank you very much. You have some questions for me?
What is the mission of your organization?
So I'm simply a solopreneur working for myself. It was started in 2016. And the name Disability Wisdom has kind of a double meaning. So first of all, I believe very strongly that all of the real kind of knowledge and wisdom about living with a disability should come from those of us who actually have disabilities. So the main objective of Disability Wisdom Consulting is to bring out the lived experiences of people with disabilities to educate others, both formally through research projects, surveys, and interviews, as well as informally through these podcasts, through written blog posts, through training materials that are developed collaboratively by people with disabilities. The other meaning of disability wisdom, that term, comes from Irving Goffman, the sociologist who wrote about stigma. And he used the term wise to refer to what we would today refer to as allies, people who don't themselves have a characteristic, but who kind of empathize and understand the experiences of people who do have that characteristic, and people who treat those of us who have a stigmatized characteristic in the same way as people who don't have that characteristic. So my goal with Disability Wisdom is to help people become allies by kind of harnessing their natural curiosity and willingness to work collaboratively with us and support us as allies.
Has recent legislation affected your organization or just people with disabilities in general?
So there is some legislation that recently that's been proposed that could be problematic for people with disabilities. One example is the ADA Reform and Education Act that was passed in the House of Representatives, which would weaken the enforceability of the Americans with Disabilities Act. The whole point of the Americans with Disabilities Act, or ADA, is to ensure that places of business that accommodate the public are accessible to people with disabilities. So in order to be effective, the ADA needs to be enforceable, and people need to have a mechanism for complaining if they identify violations. The newly considered legislation would weaken the ADA by making it harder and more complicated for people to enforce it and make complaints. And that has been concerning a lot of people. The other major issue that's been coming up a lot recently is proposed legislation that would weaken Medicaid services. And a lot of people with disabilities have incomes below the poverty line because they're unemployed, or underemployed, or have pre-existing health conditions that employer coverage, health insurance might not cover. And so they literally need Medicaid to survive. Also, a lot of people with developmental and intellectual disabilities rely on what's called home and community-based services, different kinds of personal assistance, people who can help them remain in their homes or in the community, and those are funded by Medicaid. So threats to Medicaid could threaten the livelihoods of a lot of these individuals. I will say, I think the main way that right now that this proposed legislation has impacted the disability community is by bringing us together across impairment lines in a lot of cases to fight, to oppose the new legislation.
How do you think the life of people with disabilities has changed over the past 50 years?
So there have definitely been a lot of gains, a lot of steps forward. There have also been some steps back. For example, legislation was passed in the 1970s that requires schools to accommodate children with disabilities. It used to be the case that a child couldn't necessarily, in the United States, couldn't necessarily get into a public school unless they happened to have parents who fought for them and had the resources to get them in. And now it's kind of enshrined in the law that children with disabilities are entitled to a free, appropriate public education in the least restrictive environment. Basically, that means in most cases, kids can go to their neighborhood public school with their siblings and they can get the accommodations they need. So that has been a huge change, but there have also been some steps back. So for example, blind children used to be educated in segregated schools, in like boarding schools for the blind, and that had its own problems. But one of the good things about it is that they often received a lot of early instruction in Braille and other critical blindness skills. Now these kids are being educated in their neighborhood schools, but because of funding deficiencies and short staff, a lot of districts just don't have enough teachers who are qualified, and so these kids are not necessarily getting Braille and other critical blindness skills. So that's one way that legislation has moved us far forward, but there have also been steps back. I also mentioned the Americans with Disabilities Act, which has also created a lot more opportunities in employment and access to the communities that we live in. But it also has created its own challenges. Sometimes people are afraid of lawsuits, and so they end up kind of hiding their disability prejudice in other ways. So in the 1970s, an employer might come out and say, oh, we don't want you working here, it's too much of a liability. But in 2018, people are afraid to say that, but they still think it. So instead, they kind of disguise their discrimination in other ways, saying, oh, we've already filled the position, or like they come up with excuses, and that makes it more difficult for people to advocate for themselves. One final change that's been huge in the disability landscape is technology that has allowed, on one hand, access to a much wider array of information and devices, but on the other hand, if the technology is created in such a way that it's not accessible, sometimes that ends up closing doors as well. So one example of that might be appliances like microwaves and washers and dryers that used to have dials. And so for a blind user, the dial might not be accessible, but you could just put some stickers on the dial to make it accessible. And now that we have these newfangled touchscreen devices, it is much more difficult to access those devices and to make the right modifications. So again, it's a lot of two steps forward, one step back. And there is definitely potential for lives of people with disabilities to continue getting better, but we have to work together as a community and be vigilant.
Do you think our country is going in a positive or negative direction?
So I would say overall that we are going in a positive direction. I want to be optimistic. I think the clients that I've worked with in the last 2 years have genuinely been interested in including people with disabilities and understanding that we have things to contribute, that we're not just recipients of aid. I think there's a lot of genuine interest in understanding that disability is not just an obscure thing, that it actually does affect up to 1 in 5 people, and that including people with disabilities should be a priority. So I think that overall we are going in a positive direction, but again, there are competing interests that are creating threats to some of our basic programs like Medicaid, some of our healthcare programs, and the ADA. And so we need to be vigilant to those threats, and we need to figure out how to acknowledge some of the competing interests, acknowledge that they have validity, and then try to negotiate compromises with lawmakers to ensure that our rights are still being protected.
Do you have any other final thoughts?
The only last thing I would say is that I'm very appreciative to those of you who are listening to this podcast series and reading the Weekly Wisdom blog, both those of you with and without disabilities. For those of you without disabilities, I think that an important first step to becoming allies is to listen to what we have to say and to read what we have to say. And so I would encourage you, if you are working in the disability field in any way or working with an organization that serves people with disabilities in any way, that you pay attention to what we have to say. Read our blogs, read our literature, listen to our podcasts and videos, and contact representatives from disability organizations to learn more. I would also say the same thing for disabled people to learn about other impairments that you might not be familiar with. The best way to learn is to talk to us, listen to us, and interact with us. Zoe, is there anything that you want to add?
I think this podcast is not just important for allies, but also within the disability community. I didn't have many mentors growing up, and I didn't meet another person with a vision impairment really until my junior year of high school, when I did the LIFE program through the Department of the Blind and Visually Impaired. And they taught me that I could be independent.
Mentoring and friendship within the disability community is very important, and it's something that we can't take for granted, because a lot of us do grow up in families and schools and communities where we might be the only one, or we might think that we're the only one who has a particular disability or who has any disability identity. And so any way that we can bring people together is really valuable. Thank you very much for tuning in, and we will see you on the next episode of Dear Non-Disabled People.
See you next.